Welcome to the Deep Dive. I'm incredibly glad you're joining us today because the stack of sources we're looking at.
Oh, it's massive.
It really is. Recent tech reports, market data, and some remarkably candid quotes from industry leaders. It reads like the prologue to a science fiction novel.
Except it's entirely real.
Right. It's happening right now. Today is Saturday, March 7, 2026. And the workplace you were accustomed to just a couple of years ago has effectively vanished.
Completely vanished. The transformation detailed in these reports is moving faster than even the most aggressive industry predictions. We're looking at a fundamental rewiring of the enterprise ecosystem.
It's driven by a technology that has crossed the threshold from experimental to foundational almost overnight.
Exactly.
And our mission for this deep dive is to track exactly how we arrived here with such speed. We want to map the journey from a world where artificial intelligence simply helps you work
to the current reality we're standing in where AI actually works for you.
Yes. We're going to examine what this tectonic shift means for your day-to-day life, your career trajectory, and the broader global economy. Okay, let's unpack this. We have to start with a foundational statistic from the data that really sets the stage.
The adoption rate.
The adoption rate. In 2024, which honestly feels like a blink of an eye ago, only 11% of enterprise companies were using AI agents. Today, in 2026, that number is 79%.
It's a 7x growth multiple in a 24-month window.
Just staggering.
What's fascinating here is the sheer velocity of that adoption when you hold it up against historical technological shifts. The reports provide a great contextual baseline for this. Think about the transition to cloud computing.
Sure.
That revolutionized business infrastructure, but it took a full decade to hit 70% enterprise adoption.
10 years.
10 years. Mobile enterprise applications getting company software onto smartphones took about 8 years to become the standard. Agentic AI hit 79% in 2 years. The data confirms this is officially the fastest enterprise technology adoption in human history.
The fastest in human history. That carries a lot of weight. But to understand the mechanics behind that speed, we need to clarify what we're actually looking at here. This isn't just about throwing more compute power at a problem.
Or tweaking an algorithm, no.
The sources point out that this is a fundamental shift in how we approach the concept of work itself. We need to draw a sharp line between the Copilot era, which was roughly 2023 to 2025, and the agent era we're navigating now.
That boundary line is entirely about state and autonomy.
Yeah.
In the Copilot era, we were basically treating AI like a highly advanced autocomplete.
Yeah.
The reports describe it as fundamentally reactive. It was stateless. If you asked it to format a Q3 financial report on a Tuesday, it wouldn't remember that interaction by Thursday.
It relied on constant human direction to handle single, isolated microtasks.
Exactly. The operational dynamic was the software waiting for a prompt, effectively asking, "How can I help you do this specific thing right now?"
But that statelessness was the bottleneck. You still had to drive the car. The agentic era completely flips that dynamic because the AI is no longer a passive tool.
It's proactive.
It's proactive. It has persistent memory, meaning it understands the broader ongoing context of your projects. Most importantly, it's goal-driven. You aren't giving it a prompt to draft a paragraph. You're giving it a high-level objective.
The AI plans out the necessary steps, it executes the multi-step workflow across various different systems, and then reports back. The dynamic goes from how can I help to I'll handle it.
It is the transition from optimizing how humans work to fundamentally changing what humans work on.
There's a quote in the materials from a product manager at a SaaS company that provides a perfect real-world anchor for this.
I love this quote.
Yeah. They noted that their Copilot was great for helping them write emails faster, but their agent actually reads their inbox. It categorizes the urgency of the messages, it automatically responds to routine vendor inquiries, and only flags the highly nuanced or critical emails for human review.
It's the shift from assistance to outright delegation. The AI is functioning as a junior team member.
Right. You aren't staring at a blank screen trying to generate a draft. You're coming out of a strategy meeting and reviewing the completed work the AI has already pushed forward on your behalf.
And achieving that level of autonomy requires the AI to be deeply integrated into a company's infrastructure. It can't just be a standalone web interface.
No, it has to have the ability to execute decisions across a company's internal networks seamlessly.
Which brings us to a massive inflection point in the data. Because getting that level of deep integration historically takes years of enterprise sales cycles and IT approvals.
Decades sometimes.
Yet here we are at 79% adoption. Here's where it gets really interesting. We have to talk about the Napster moment and the phenomenon of OpenClaw.
OpenClaw is the undisputed catalyst for this hyper-adoption. The metrics surrounding its release are staggering.
The project only launched in November of 2025. By February 2026, just 3 months later, the open source repository had between 180,000 and 215,000 GitHub stars.
It hit over 100,000 active installations almost immediately.
The website saw 2 million visitors within days of launch. But the metric that really matters is that it captured a massive 30% enterprise adoption rate right out of the gate.
You rarely see those kinds of numbers for a complex enterprise tool, especially an open source one. To understand why, you have to look at OpenClaw's capabilities.
Right.
It operates essentially as a universal autonomous operating system for AI agents. It isn't just generating text. It's managing email servers, browsing the live web writing, and executing its own code and coordinating subagents.
Let's pause on subagents for a second, because that concept is wild.
It really is.
That means your primary OpenClaw agent can recognize a task is too big, spin up three smaller specialized AI agents, delegate pieces of the project to them, and then compiled their work.
All while connected to the nervous system of modern work. Slack, Microsoft Teams, WhatsApp, Discord.
Precisely. And the sources point to three specific reasons why this particular platform won the enterprise race so decisively.
The first, and arguably the most critical for large organizations, is data sovereignty. Before, OpenClaw companies were terrified of feeding their proprietary data, their trade secrets, and customer info into cloud-based AI models controlled by third-party tech giants.
They were holding back.
Exactly. But OpenClaw runs locally on a company's own hardware. The data never leaves their physical servers.
That removes the biggest roadblock for heavily regulated industries like finance and healthcare. If the data stays in-house, they can finally play with the new toys.
Yep.
The second reason it won is customizability. Because its open source companies aren't locked into a specific vendor's ecosystem. They can tear the code apart, rewrite it, and weave it directly into their bespoke internal systems.
And the third reason is the ecosystem they built around it. They launched ClawHub.
ClawHub functions like an app store for OpenClaw extensions, and it grew to host thousands of them in a matter of weeks.
If an enterprise needs their agent to talk to an outdated customer relationship database, there is an extension for that.
Right.
If they needed to automate a complex DevOps pipeline where the AI needs to review software code run testing suites and deploy updates to live servers, there's an extension for that. It made the system infinitely adaptable.
But solving that data sovereignty issue by making it so easy to run locally created a massive blind spot because anyone could install it.
Anyone.
If we look at the February 2026 incident reports in the stack, we see the dark side of this boom.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the frictionless nature of OpenClaw's adoption is exactly what is terrifying IT security teams. We're seeing an unprecedented proliferation of shadow IT.
Which means employees are just downloading and installing OpenClaw on their work laptops without asking the IT department, purely because it automates their busy work.
Yes, they are bypassing all enterprise security protocols to make their own jobs easier. And because the software is granted deep system access to read emails and move files, the vulnerabilities are catastrophic.
The reports detail a major event in February 2026, where a one-click remote code execution vulnerability was exposed.
Let's explain that one.
Yeah, let's put that in plain English for anyone outside of InfoSec. A remote code execution, or RCE, means a bad actor could send a single malicious link in an email or a Slack message.
Right.
If an employee whose machine is running OpenClaw clicks that link, the hacker instantly gains invisible total control over that employee's computer.
And by extension, the agent that has access to all their internal company data?
The fallout was immediate. Over 30,000 OpenClaw instances were suddenly exposed to hackers. And the vulnerability wasn't just in the core software. The ClawHub marketplace itself was weaponized.
Threat analysts found 386 malicious extensions on the hub. Hackers realized that if they uploaded a fake extension promising to, for example, perfectly optimize your Google Calendar,
an employee would download it.
And the AI agent would automatically execute the malicious code bundled inside it.
There is a quote in the research from a tech CISO, a chief information security officer, the executive whose head rolls when a breach happens, that perfectly summarizes the panic. They called OpenClaw Enterprise AI's Napster moment.
The comparison is incredibly apt. With Napster in the early 2000s, everyone wanted the free music. The technology was suddenly accessible, and the traditional guardrails were completely obliterated.
Right.
With OpenClaw, the genie is similarly out of the bottle. Everyone wants the extreme productivity gains, but nobody knows how to manage it securely at scale. The rate of adoption is completely outpacing the security posture of the organizations trying to use it.
So if the security risks are that severe, and chief information security officers are actively losing sleep over shadow IT, why are boards of directors still pushing forward at breakneck speed? Let's bring this back to the boardroom reality.
The answer, as it usually is, comes down to cold hard cash. The economics of agentic AI are impossible to ignore. The return on investment metrics we are seeing in these reports are frankly absurd compared to traditional software deployments.
We have a quote from a Fortune 500 chief technology officer who stated they saw a positive ROI on their agent deployment in 4 to 6 weeks. They made a point to clarify, not months, not years, weeks. This is something we've never seen in any enterprise technology.
And the broader market data backs up that anecdote. Research shows that 74% of enterprise executives are reporting a positive ROI within the very first year.
Wow.
When you look at the 18-month mark, the average ROI globally sits at an astounding 350%.
In the United States alone, the overall return across all sectors is 192%. We are no longer dealing with projected theoretical models. This is realized audited financial value.
The operational cost reductions are staggering. Companies are reporting top-line operational reductions of between 40 and 70%.
I want to look at a tangible example from the data to illustrate how this actually impacts a P&L statement. Let's look at customer support. The math here is wild.
It really is.
Before agentic AI, a typical human-led customer interaction, factoring in salary benefits and software licenses, cost a company somewhere between $3 and $6 per ticket.
When an AI agent handles that same interaction, the cost drops to between 25 cents and 50 cents.
That is a 12x reduction in cost per interaction.
Yeah.
And the natural assumption would be that the quality of service must fall off a cliff to achieve those savings.
But the data says the opposite.
Right. The agents are resolving 65% of customer queries completely autonomously. No human intervention needed. Furthermore, because these agents don't have wait times, they speak dozens of languages fluently and instantly recall. The customer's entire account history companies are reporting a 70% higher customer satisfaction rate.
It creates a fascinating cognitive dissonance. The customer is demonstrably happier interacting with a machine that resolves their issue in 10 seconds than waiting 15 minutes to speak with a human.
Exactly.
The financial impact of just that one dynamic is massive. By the end of 2026, agentic AI is projected to save $80 billion globally in the customer service sector alone.
And customer service is just one vertical. The reports detail similar transformations in lead qualification. Instead of a sales development rep manually researching prospects, an agent instantly scores incoming leads. It engages them across email and chat, simultaneously prioritizes them based on buying signals and routes the high-intent prospects directly to human closers.
The result of that workflow optimization is a 4 to 7x improvement in conversion rates. The agent is executing the grueling top-of-funnel busy work flawlessly.
We see the same thing in IT troubleshooting, where agents act as self-healing mechanisms for company network.
Yeah, they detect anomalies, automatically patch software, resolve internal support tickets, and perform predictive maintenance to prevent server outages.
There's a quote from a startup VP of engineering in the materials that really synthesizes this economic reality. They said they're no longer an experiment. They're part of our team.
That is the ultimate paradigm shift we are observing. We are moving from treating software as a static tool you use to an active entity you collaborate with.
So what does this all mean? The technology clearly works. The financial data proves the ROI is undeniable. But are we actually structured to handle this?
This raises an important question. The friction we're seeing in the 2026 landscape isn't about compute power or the capabilities of the models anymore.
Right.
The friction is entirely about corporate culture and legacy infrastructure. The technology is ready, but the human workforce and the physical systems might not be.
The sources highlight several massive roadblocks. We already explored the shadow IT security nightmare, but there is also the physical challenge of legacy system incompatibility.
Oh.
You can't just pluck a hyper-advanced OpenClaw agent into a 20-year-old banking mainframe and expect it to seamlessly execute trades. Mainframes rely on ancient rigid code bases. Updating that plumbing so an agent can actually read and write to those databases is incredibly painful and expensive.
And beyond the physical infrastructure, the strategic business models of Silicon Valley are being completely upended. The sources predict that 67% of software vendors will be forced to shift to usage-based pricing by 2027.
We have to dig into that because that completely rewrites the software economy. Think about what that means for massive legacy vendors who rely on selling subscriptions.
It's a huge problem for them.
If a company buys an enterprise license for 1,000 employees, but then deploys an AI agent that can do the work of 500 of those people, they're going to cancel 500 licenses. Selling a flat-per-seat software license makes zero financial sense when your users are digital entities that work 24/7.
Vendors will have to pivot to charging by the task or by the amount of compute power utilized. It is a violent disruption to recurring revenue models.
Definitely.
But the most profound friction detailed in the sources is purely human. There is a palpable, pervasive fear regarding job displacement.
It's unavoidable. When an executive reads that operational costs can drop by 70%, the workforce knows that operational cost is usually a polite boardroom synonym for labor.
Exactly. And even for the roles that are augmented rather than replaced, there is a massive skill gap. Workers have to rapidly learn how to audit and manage these agents.
And you have the legal and structural dilemmas.
Right. When an autonomous agent makes a critical error, say it misinterprets a vendor contract, and authorizes a six-figure payment for the wrong materials, who is held responsible?
Is it the open source developer?
Or the employee who installed the agent?
The company's compliance officer. It's a mess. There's a great quote from a chief human resources officer at a major financial institution that frames this perfectly. They noted, "Our biggest challenge isn't security, it's change management. People need to learn to trust agents, manage them, and collaborate with them."
We are asking a workforce conditioned to execute tasks to suddenly become managers of digital labor.
And the window for that transition is incredibly brief. If we look at the timeline projected in the sources leading up to 2034, the pace of integration only accelerates.
Let's map out that timeline.
We are currently in 2026, the year of mass adoption at 79%. Fast forward just 2 years to 2028. The projections state that 33% of all enterprise software will have agentic AI natively embedded into it.
And more importantly, 15% of all daily work decisions will be made entirely autonomously.
Consider the gravity of that metric. 15% of the operational choices made in a global business day will involve zero human input.
Then we hit 2029, which looks like a massive inflection point. By then, 50% of knowledge workers will be actively managing AI agents as their primary job function.
Half the workforce.
Half. And this is the year the data predicts the normalization of agent-to-agent commerce.
This changes the entire landscape. It won't just be an employee directing an agent. It'll be your company's procurement agent communicating directly with a supplier sales agent.
They will evaluate inventory, haggle over bulk pricing draft, the legally binding contract, and execute the financial transaction all machine to machine, completing a process that used to take 3 weeks in a matter of milliseconds.
And looking at the economic window from 2030 to 2034, the direct market size for agentic AI is expected to swell to $195 billion. Which in turn acts as the foundation for a broader agentic economy worth between $3 and $5 trillion.
Which brings us to perhaps the most profound prediction in the stack coming from Gartner. They project that by 2030, agents will become the default interface for enterprise software.
The actual way we interact with computers changes.
The interface disappears. Gartner's thesis is that you won't log into a CRM dashboard anymore. Your agent will interface with it.
You won't open a word processor to build a quarterly report. Your agent will aggregate the data, write the analysis format the document, and distribute it to the stakeholders.
The human role shifts permanently from the execution of tasks to the oversight of outcomes.
That is an incredible visualization of where we're heading. We have covered a massive amount of ground today. We traced the incredibly rapid evolution from the reactive stateless copilots of 2023 to the autonomous proactive agents of 2026.
We explored the open claw phenomenon.
That localized open source Napster moment that bypassed traditional IT and brought both unprecedented capabilities and massive remote code execution vulnerabilities. We dug into the undeniable financial reality.
The 350% returns on investment and $80 billion in customer service savings.
Savings that are forcing companies to adopt this tech regardless of the security friction. And finally, we looked over the horizon to a $5 trillion economy where half the workforce manages digital team members and the human role shifts from doing the work to overseeing the AI that does the work.
It is an overwhelming amount of systemic change compressed into a remarkably short timeline. But before we finish, I want to leave you with a thought that isn't a hard data point in the reports, but is a direct implication of this hyper-optimized future we're building.
I am always here for the broader implications. Let's hear it.
We discussed this approaching reality of agent-to-agent commerce, a frictionless environment where your AI perfectly coordinates with my AI to schedule our meetings, negotiate our deliverables, and relentlessly filter our inboxes so we only see what the algorithm deems crucial.
Right.
If our digital coworkers perfectly optimize and insulate all of our interactions, what happens to human serendipity? If we systematically engineer away all the messy, unplanned moments of operational friction, do we also lose the accidental conversations, the misunderstood emails, and the unexpected collisions of ideas that so often spark our greatest creative breakthroughs?
That is a brilliant question. If the AI paves the road perfectly smooth, do we end up falling asleep at the wheel? And that is absolutely something to chew on as we navigate this transition. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. As you close this out and get back to your day, take a hard look at the tasks in front of you. Start figuring out how you can shift your own mindset from execution to oversight, because the agentic era isn't coming. It's already here. You want to be the one managing the agents before your competitors leave you behind. Catch you next time.